Well, welcome to Church Bridgepoint. Man, I'm so glad that you're joining us right now. Whatever right now is, if it's on Sunday or a night through the week or a day, whatever channel, whatever time, we're just glad that you're here to have church with us today. What an amazing time of worship we've already had. It's just been an incredible service so far. My name is Scott. I'm one of the pastors here at Bridgepoint Church, and it's my honor and privilege to be here with you today and bring you our final message in the series, Surrounded. If you're already online or you're on the chat and you haven't put your name in, go ahead, put your name in there. Tell us where you're from, where you're joining us from. Be a participant in the service today. You can go ahead and feel free to shout me down on the chat. You can say, come on, somebody. I don't care. I'm ready for you. I hope you're ready for me too. So we have been, for the last month, in this series called Surrounded. And we've been talking about spiritual warfare and the armor of God, the armor that God has given us to wear. Isn't that, that's great, isn't it? Without that, we would not survive. So we're going to talk about that again today, but Pastor Tyler and Pastor Chad have done a great job for the last month going back and forth talking about every piece of the armor. It's so important. The belt of truth, we talked about that. The breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, and then last week, the shield of faith. All those are so needed in this fight that we go into in the world today. And maybe you feel like there's a lot happening in the world, right? We all know that. And it can seem like we're surrounded. Just like this picture, he's surrounded. And I don't know about you, but I felt that way a lot lately. It seems like we're just surrounded by everything. We could talk about all the stuff, right? The pandemic, the problems in society, all the stuff. But we're surrounded. And we're going to find out today, again today, as we go through the scripture, that it is a spiritual battle for the believer. And so to do it justice, I want to read the whole section. So go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and starting with verse 10. And we're going to hit the whole scripture today, and then we're going to finish up, all right? So let's read this together. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. There it is again. So that when the evil day comes, you can be able to stand your ground. Even after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, in which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So we have in this section of Scripture, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians, and he's telling them that in the first couple of chapters, he's telling them everything that they are and everything that they have in Jesus, their Savior. And he gets down toward the end of the book here, and he knows that there's going to be hard times coming, just like maybe you're experiencing hard times today. He knows this, and so he tells them, hey, get ready. God's given you some armor to protect you. And even today, we're going to talk about a weapon that he also gave us, right? And so there's a lot of pieces of armor and then one weapon. But we want you to remember a couple of things that we've covered in this series. We don't fight people. We fight for people. We saw that in the scripture we just read. It's not about that coworker that's on your last nerve. It's really not. It's not about that neighbor that's giving you a hard time. It's really not about that. It's not about the guy who maybe drove past you and cut you off in traffic even this morning and gave you the one-fingered salute. It's not about him. It's a spiritual battle. And as believers, it makes life a lot more easy if we realize that we don't fight against people. We fight for people. The next one is, we don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. Come on, somebody, that's good. Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago to give us the victory. He not only died, but he arose again, and he's alive today. And so we have complete victory in any kind of battle that we could have in this life. So we're thankful for these two things. And today, I want us to go into this whole message knowing that we're in a physical world, yes, but we're fighting spiritual battles. We can't fight spiritual battles with physical tools. It just doesn't work that way. So let's look at the pieces of armor for today. It's in verse 17. The first one, it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so first, I want to talk to you about the helmet of salvation. Now, we all know what helmets are, right? In my life, I've worn many kinds of helmets. I wore a football helmet playing football, motorcycle helmets riding motorcycles, and it's all to protect what's inside our head, right? Our brain is pretty important. It's a pretty important thing. And so one of the helmets that I wore during my life, a lot of you know, and if you don't know, I spent 28 years as a firefighter, and so I brought one of my helmets today that I want to show you. This is just one of the helmets I wore. There was about eight in a 28-year career that I wore, and you can see that it's pretty beaten up. It's pretty charred up. I actually wore this helmet in many fires, and you're probably saying right now, well, that explains a lot. I think you cook a turkey at 350 degrees, and that's where this helmet was most of the time. And so that explains a lot about me, right? So I wore this helmet to protect my head. That's important. I want to tell you why it's important. So the helmet protects our brain. Our brain is our control center that tells our body what to do, right? Just as important as that is, the helmet of salvation protects our spirit. Our spirit, because it's a spiritual battle. Remember this, we're surrounded by all these spiritual things going on, and the brain, just as the brain tells the body what to do, the mind tells the soul what to do. And so I want you to see this. The helmet of salvation is to protect our spiritual mind. It is to protect our spiritual mind, and that's important. I want you to see in the word here, salvation. Now, why does Paul choose to use the word salvation talking about a helmet, something to protect your head? That's a good question. The word salvation in the Greek actually means deliverance. So salvation means deliverance. So to be saved means to be delivered. Now that's kind of odd because Paul is writing to a church, believers in Jesus, who've already been delivered from their sinful ways. So why would he use this word salvation? I want you to remember that the helmet of salvation is to protect our spiritual mind. And so we have been delivered from an old way of thinking. Now, when we come to Christ, we only know one thing. We know one way to think. It's the way the world thinks. It's the way everybody thinks. And that's the only thing we know until we receive Jesus. The Bible says that when we become in Christ, we're a new creation. It even says old things pass away and all things become new. And so the reminder for us is that when we put on the helmet of salvation, that it's changed our mindset. It's not about being saved. It's about thinking saved. It's not about going to heaven. It's about making decisions on earth. It's about our mindset. And if we don't get this right, people, we're not going to win any spiritual battle. And so this is such an important piece of equipment. And here's, I'm going to tell you why. Look at this. What we think determines what we believe. What we believe determines who we become. That's so important. And so what we think about ourselves as a believer in Jesus, when we go into a battle, we must remember we've been delivered. Let me show you some references from God's word about this. It says in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. He's telling us right there that our physical way, our human way of thinking, is way too low for God. His way is such higher than our ways. His thinking is higher than our thinking. And so when you're going through the pandemic, you're going through the problems, you're fighting addictions, you're fighting anger, you're fighting all these things, the people that are around you, it's sometimes easy for us to slide back into an old way of thinking. We listen to the media, we listen to the neighbor, we listen to everybody else except God, and God's saying, my ways are higher, listen to me. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in Colossians 3, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And so we don't think about the way things happen on this earth. We think about with a heavenly mind, the mind of Christ. Paul also writes to the Romans, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He tells you right there, don't think like the world thinks. Don't think in your old way of thinking. Don't conform to that. Renew your mind. And he tells you, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and his perfect will. And so it's important to know that we think with a renewed mind. And you say, well, Scott, how do we do that? I don't get it. Let me show you. I'm glad you asked. 2 Corinthians 10:5 tells us, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Did you get that? We can actually take thoughts captive with this new, renewed mind in Jesus. And so the helmet of salvation tells us, when we put it on, it reminds us that we don't think the way we used to think. It actually is going to protect our mind, our spiritual soul, from thinking that way. It's going to help us to remember to think the thoughts of God. When we go into the battle, we have to remember that in these spiritual battles. I love that about the helmet of salvation. The next thing that it tells us, let's go on in the verse. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the sword here, I want to tell you another little Greek lesson today. The word sword in the Greek actually means dagger. Now, when we think about a sword, usually it's like Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, the swashbuckling big sword that you fight people from a distance. When Paul was looking at the Roman army and the Roman guard, he saw those pieces of armor. And I think the Holy Spirit put in his mind, I know he did, every piece. And he said, this is what this means to a Christian, a believer. And when he got down to the sword, he said, you know what? The Holy Spirit told him, this is the only weapon of defense and attack that we have as a Christian, is this sword. And it says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But I want you to understand why it's important that it's called a sword in the same name as a dagger. I brought one with me today. A friend of mine who was a United States Marine had a travel to Japan, and he brought back a couple of these. This is a samurai warrior sword, but it's about the same length. It says, if you study it out, this dagger that Paul talks about was about 18 to 20 inches. This one's about the same. And so it's important to know this because the Roman soldier usually had hand-to-hand combat, up-close fights. And so this sword would fit nice right there on the belt of truth. It would fit right on his side. And that's important because he had to pull it out quick, right? In hand-to-hand combat, you need something that's this short but sharp that you can deliver a fatal blow in an instant. So why would Paul bring this up and say, this is the type of sword that God gives us? Have you ever felt like the enemy, Satan, the enemy of your soul, was just all up in your face? He was all in your business. No matter what you did that day, he was on you. You could just feel it all around you. Nothing went right. Everybody was mad. Everybody's upset at you. There's problems everywhere. You feel like, man, I'm being attacked right now. You need to pull out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and give that fatal blow to your enemy. And I'm going to show you how to do that. I'm going to put this down so I don't hurt myself. So the sword of the Spirit is to deliver that fatal blow. And it says, which is the Word of God. Now that's important too. You ready? We're going to go back to school for just a minute. In the Bible, there's three words that describe the Word of God as you read through the Bible. I want to teach you those today. The first word is graphe. Graphe is the written Word of God. 66 written books in one book that we call the Word of God, the Bible. It's a book. It's the Word of God, but it's a book. You may have one in your car, on your side table, at the nightstand. You may have one on your coffee table in your living room. But if you never open it, it's just a book. It's going to lay there, graphe, the written Word. It's important. Even today, we have them on our mobile devices, right? There's all types of apps. You can pull up the Bible in a minute's notice in many different versions. But it's the written Word. That's the word graphe. The next one I want you to see is logos. Logos is the message of the Word. So we have graphe, the written Word. When we open the graphe and we read the written Word, it becomes the logos, which is the message of the Word. Listen to this. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, the logos, and the Word logos was God, and He was with God in the beginning. And then, let's drop down to verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we find out that the Logos, the message of the book, is Jesus. It's talking about Jesus Christ. He came, He became flesh when He came to earth. And so we read the graphe, the written Word. We receive the Logos of the Word. It's the message all through the Bible. The message of the Word of God is Jesus. But neither one of these words is the word that Paul used here in Ephesians 6. It's interesting. I want you to see this. The last word is rhema. Rhema is the spoken word or the utterance of the Word of God, the Word of God spoken. And you may say, well, Scott, okay, thanks for the Greek lesson today, but what's this got to do with anything? I want to tell you, because the sword of the Spirit is our only weapon, we must know what it is. It's the spoken Word of God. He said, the sword of the Spirit, which is the spoken Word of God. We need to know that when the battles come, and we have isolation, we have loneliness in our life, we're fighting these frustrations, these angers, these addictions. We need to know how to fight that spiritual battle. We've already got our helmet on. We got all our other armor on. We're thinking, right? But how do we fight the battle? We fight it with the rhema, the spoken Word of God. We've read the graphe, the written Word. We've got the message, the logos. Now we can speak it out in the battle. When the battle hits, it doesn't really matter at that point how many self-help books you've read or coaching blogs you know or manuscripts from podcasts that you can recite. It only matters if you can recite the spoken Word of God. This is a fact. This is what the armor has given us as we fight this battle. So I want to look at some things that we need to know about this sword, this weapon. We must know and we must trust our weapon. So we must know our weapon. The same friend that brought me the sword to use today, he also told me about the time that he went into the Marine Corps. As a young man, he went into the Marine Corps and they handed him an M16 rifle. Said, this is your weapon. It's your life. Memorize everything about it. He even had a rifle creed that he had to memorize and quote at demand. They told him that we're going to test you. You got to take this weapon apart, every single piece, and put it back together for a time while blindfolded. Now, that's something. If you can do that, you certainly know your weapon. So how much more important is it that we know our weapon, that we remember that we have to know it and we have to trust it when the battle is on? And so the Bible tells us in Psalm 119:11, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. How can we hide something in our heart and memorize it if we haven't opened it and read it and received the message of it? Come on, somebody. That's what we have to do. We have to read the Word of God, receive the message of God, and quote it, speak it into existence in our battle. That's why He has given us the sword. Now, there's something else we have to know about this weapon. We must know how and when to use it. That's important. You need to know how and when to use it. You can use a weapon at the wrong time in the wrong way and hurt someone that you're not meaning to hurt, or you can even hurt yourself. A friend of mine that does woodworking has a lot of tools to do that and told me that if you use the right tool but at the wrong time in the wrong way, you can destroy what you're trying to do. You can just destroy it, and you could hurt yourself very seriously. So it's important that we not only know and trust our weapon, but we know how and when to use it. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And so it says to do your best to study this and know it and handle it correctly. The Bible also tells us in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Did you get that? It tells us that it's God-breathed. All scripture, every single word in this graphe is God-breathed. What does that mean? It means that God the Holy Spirit spoke to man. Yes, man had to physically pen these words, but they're not his words. I've had people tell me before, yeah, the Bible's just another book that some man wrote or people wrote. Yes, it is a book. Yes, people wrote it, but it was from God. I want you to get that. It's very important that you understand that every single word is from God. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. It tells us in that verse, breathed by God. The breath of God is the Holy Spirit that speaks into the heart of man, and He writes the scripture. How do we get to know this word so well that we can know it and trust it, and we can know how and when to use it? It's called discipleship. This is a term that you're going to hear more and more around Bridgepoint because it describes a journey of life with someone else as you study out God's Word. This is how you get to know it. This is how you put it in your heart as the message, and you can speak it as the rhema when the battle is on. Come on, that's good stuff. I want to tell you that even Jesus knew this, of course. He was tempted after His baptism. The Holy Spirit came down, and it says He was full of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit led Him into the wilderness to be tempted. After 40 days of fasting, the devil came to Him and said, hey, here's some rocks. I know you're hungry. Why don't you turn them into bread? Listen to what Jesus told him. He told the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He quoted scripture, the rhema. It became the rhema right there. The Logos, Jesus, spoke the scripture, the rhema. Then the devil came to him again and said, he took him up to this high place in the temple. He said, why don't you jump off? Don't the scripture say that your father will take care of you and not let you get hurt? He will send the angels to catch you. Jesus said again, it is also written, do not put the Lord God to the test. Here's Jesus speaking the word. Again, the devil comes to him, and he takes him up to a high place. He says, just bow down and worship me, and I will give you all these kingdoms and their splendor. And Jesus, one more time, he goes, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The next verse says, then the devil left. right? The devil left him. He's speaking the word of God, the truth of the word of God, because Satan, the Bible says, is a liar and the father of lies. And so if that's the truth, he can't stand the truth of God, which is the rhema. So learn to speak the word of God as your weapon. It's the weapon that God has given us. The last thing that I want you to see today about this passage, we have our helmet, we have our sword, we have our other armor. This is it. This is the gas, the fuel that you put in the motor to make it run. The engine can't run without the fuel. This is it. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. It says to pray in the Spirit. You may say, well, Scott, what does that look like? How do I pray in the Spirit? What does that even mean? Without the Holy Spirit's power in our life, and thank God that when we receive Jesus, He comes to live in us. The power that raised Jesus from the dead, come on, somebody, lives inside of us. How could we lose? But we pray in the Spirit of God. It's when we pray. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, pray the armor. I can remember a time that I was going to be transferred to a fire station. I had a reputation. The guys that worked there were pretty rough. They didn't really care anything about the things of God. And so I was a little nervous, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of this passage. So I began to pray it every day as I drove in. There were seven other guys that worked at that station. I would pray just like this. God, today I'm going into battle. I need to put on my belt of truth so that everywhere I go, I would speak truth and I would live truth. Father, I need to wear the breastplate of righteousness, protect my heart. Let, as you see me as the righteousness of Christ, I put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. May everywhere I put my foot bring peace today. God, I pick up the shield of faith, quench all the fiery arrows as they come at me today and protect me. I put on my helmet of salvation. I thank you for my renewed thinking that I don't have to think the way I used to. I pull out the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the rhema, the spoken word of God. Help me to use it correctly today and speak it. That's what it looks like to pray it. As in 3 months' time at that station, let me tell you what God did. Every person on that shift except one either rededicated their life to Jesus Christ or received Jesus as their Savior. I had the privilege to pray with the captain. The captain of the shift came to me in tears and bowed his knee to Jesus and received him. And he said, from now on, we're having Bible study every shift. So six of the other seven men were at Bible study every shift. And he said, on Sundays when we work, Scott, I want you to preach to us. Give us a message. He even began to bring his guitar in and play hymns and sing. Come on. That's good stuff, man. This is what praying the Spirit can do for you. And you say, well, I don't know it that well, Scott. I'm in a battle right now. What can I pray? Let me give you another prayer. This one, if you can't remember the pieces, but I would say go ahead and learn them and practice. If you don't know the pieces yet, pray this. Help! God, help me. I'm in a battle. Holy Spirit, I need your power. I need the armor. I need my sword. Help. That's it. And he's going to come help you. I promise he will never leave you or forsake you. He's going to be there with you. But we can't do this. We can't fight any battle without the Holy Spirit's power because it's a spiritual battle. It's not physical. It's spiritual. Now listen, I'm not saying that every one of my battles has ended this way because they haven't. That was a good story. A lot of people got saved. Lives got changed. But I want to tell you, you may be in a battle right now and you say, Scott, I know I've been praying the armor too. And right now things aren't getting better. I feel evil all around me. I feel Satan up on me. I'm trying it. It's not working. I want to encourage you, don't stop. He hears you. The Spirit is with you. I've done the same thing in this past year, in recent months. I've battled spiritual battles with things with family members and just horrific things that come to attack us. He's the enemy of our soul. If that's you and you're still praying the armor, keep praying. But listen, remember this verse in Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that's at work within us. Trust me, the Holy Spirit of God is at work within you. He is still working on your battle. I promise you, he is fighting. Don't give up. Put on the armor. Pull out the sword. Continually speak the rhema, word of God, and go into your spiritual battle fighting from the victory Jesus has already given you. Trust him today, and he will be victorious in your life. I promise you, keep fighting. It's his power that works in you, not our own power. Would you pray with me? So, Father, today, I thank you that you have given us victory in battle. I thank you, Father, that you have given us this armor that we can wear. And Father, not only the armor, but the sword of the Spirit, you've given us your word. Help us to love it. Help us to know it. Help us to use it correctly and at the right times. Help us to speak it, have it down in our heart so we can speak the rhema, word of God, with power, the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray for everyone who's watching this message right now, God, if they're in a battle right now, they're ready to give up, they feel the enemy on top of them. God the Father, I pray right now, send your Holy Spirit's power and the angels from heaven to fight for them, to fight for them, Father. Because I know the spiritual battle is hard. It's difficult on our soul and our spirit. But we are fighting from victory. Our victory is in you, Jesus. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today,